Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in. Today we have a wonderful program on tap with my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. David Wiley. He's the President and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and Melissa Baskell, Director of Volunteer Services, again from Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And David and Melissa, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Thank you, Steve.
Good to be here today.
All right. It's great to have you in the studio today. And we're talking about volunteers and how essential they are to your business here at Kansas City Hospice. Now, I think listeners might be surprised to learn just how many volunteer opportunities you have and how vital the volunteers are to your operation. So, David, let's unpack that and talk about that.
Sure. Well, you know, it's a National Volunteer Month in the U.S., so we're honoring all the volunteers in our community. And we all know volunteering is an important activity for millions of Americans, but we feel the compassionate people who serve as trained hospice volunteers deserve special recognition during this month of celebration and awareness. And we take great pride that of all the places that people could volunteer in Kansas City, nearly 300 choose our organization every year to spend their time.
That's amazing. That's a lot of volunteers, David.
You know, it is. And it's an excellent time right now to encourage the support of everyone listening to learn more about this, participate in volunteering for hospice. So, you know, because to your point, Steve, you know, we have so many different things that a volunteer can do for us. I think listeners are going to be surprised. And I'm going to ask my incredible colleague, Melissa, to speak to the breadth of ways that people can volunteer at Kansas City Hospice.
All right, Melissa, so tell us about you and, as David mentioned, the opportunities for volunteers at Kansas City Hospice.
Sure. Thanks, Steve. I've been a member of the team at Kansas City Hospice for about 14 years now, and I currently have the privilege to work alongside our amazing team of volunteers and volunteer coordinators as the Director of Volunteer Services. And, you know, Steve, we have a diverse, talented group of volunteers at Kansas City Hospice. And that's something we really treasure. So we try to match what people are both good at and like to do. We put a real emphasis on utilizing each volunteer's talents and interests, so it's a win-win situation. And it's actually a win-win-win because our patients and their families, they're better served because of our volunteers. And our volunteers serve in creative ways. You may know that we have two hospice houses, which include North Care Hospice House and Kansas City Hospice House. That's the largest hospice house in the state. So between these two and our home care patients and patients we see in care facilities, we have lots of patients and families to take care of. And would you guess that we have volunteers who serve in such unique ways as doing yard work for patients and their families, or hairstylists who volunteer their time to give haircuts in people's homes? But some of the more other general volunteer opportunities are so varied, and some of them are include in-home companionship or respite for hospice patients, chores and errands for hospice patients and families. If families request it, bedside vigil with those who are in their final hours. We call it compassionate presence. We have volunteers who co-facilitate grief support groups for adults or children, or help at our grief support camps. We have volunteers serving trays to hospice patients at Kansas City Hospice House and working front desk shifts at both of our hospice houses. We have volunteers who are licensed to give haircuts, provide massage therapy, legal services or notary services, as I mentioned earlier. Retail roles at Story Boutique and Heart and Soul, which are our retail shops. We have certified pet therapy support teams, volunteers in administrative roles, sewing volunteers who sew memory bears and pillows for patients and families. Those are kind of a legacy item that families get to keep. We've got couriers making regular deliveries between our five locations. And so just numerous variety of roles. And training for these various roles is held year-round. So if this sounds like something you might want to consider becoming a part of, it's easy to get engaged. You just visit our website at kchospice.org/volunteer and select the area that you'd like to volunteer. It's a super quick online application, and we'll contact you shortly after.
That's a long list. That's impressive. Yes. And look, if you want to volunteer and you have a particular emphasis, trade, legal background, et cetera, they'll find something for you to do.
That's right.
So as I understand it, volunteers work with every family served by Kansas City Hospice. Is that right, David?
You know, that's right, Steve. You know, they're an integral part of the care team. And even if they don't work directly with a patient or family, definitely their work behind the scenes impacts every single patient. And it's important to know that Medicare requires that volunteer hours equal at least 5% of the total patient care hours of all of our paid hospice employees. And the thinking was that volunteers would keep hospice providers community-oriented and patient and family-focused, along with maximizing healthcare resources. You know, it's a big idea and actually big goals, but guess what? It actually works, and we love it.
And that is great to hear. And I know what you mean. It doesn't always work out when something is mandated into law. You know, many times it may work better in theory or on paper than in reality. But you're saying that integrating volunteers as part of the care team really does work. And again, that's wonderful to hear.
Absolutely. You know, we know this anecdotally, but we see it every single day. And that's part of what Melissa is here to talk about. Our volunteers across our organization are just amazing. And Melissa, who leads a team of folks who works to organize and recruit and retain and motivate and celebrate our volunteers, also is amazing. And you can't believe the work that they do. It's so incredible.
Well, thank you. And I think it's worth mentioning that in 2023, Kansas City Hospice volunteers not only met that 5% mandate, but they more than doubled it. 11% of our patient care provided in 2023 was provided by hospice volunteers. This just illustrates how when folks volunteer with us, they make a true difference in the lives of people who are facing serious illness, their families, and the community. The volunteers themselves are fulfilled and are able to put skills and interests to good use. And finally, as an organization, they fill a huge need for us. We need these volunteers. They're vital.
So you just blew me away. So 5% is required, but you are at 11%. That tells me a lot about your organization. People want to be connected with you. People want to volunteer with you. So tell us about some of the volunteers who work at the hospice houses, Melissa.
You know, I mentioned we have two large inpatient hospice houses, Kansas City Hospice House and North Care Hospice House. And we are so thankful to have a wide, diverse group of hospice volunteers to do it alongside our dedicated professional staff. Our Kansas City Hospice volunteers are as diverse as the patients we serve. They cover all ages, ethnic backgrounds, and lifestyles. Some volunteers are retired, others are working professionals, and some are students. And we love that mix. Many give respite, companionship, and other direct services to patients and families. Administrative professionals use their expertise to assist us with office needs, maintaining policies, marketing, photography, fundraising, board leadership, and so much more. All of these folks are caring individuals who offer their presence in some way that benefits our patients, their families, and our staff. Some volunteers even propose their own roles to us based on their unique experiences. And their volunteer roles might be different, but they all bring a heartfelt energy, love, dedication, and compassion that completely enhances the professional skills of the rest of the patient care team. As I mentioned, Kansas City Hospice is a richer and more profound experience because of the contributions of our volunteers.
You know what, Steve? I agree. And, you know, I want to mention that one of our volunteers of more than 20 years just received a very prestigious statewide award from the Missouri Hospice and Palliative Care Association for her work as a volunteer. I'm going to tee this up, and then we'd love to talk about a little bit more about this award and why her name's Debbie, why she won. And I think it's important for you to know what kind of people that you're working with if you do decide to become a volunteer with us.
That sounds excellent. Congratulations. And Melissa, let's hear about that.
Sure. So the Missouri Hospice and Palliative Care Association hosts an annual awards program called the Heart of Hospice Awards for Member Organizations. And one of the most competitive categories is the Heart of Hospice Administrative Volunteer Award, because we, as many organizations do, have some amazing deserving volunteers. So it's a real struggle each year to decide first who to nominate on our end. And then the association gets this stack of really incredible nominees they have to decide among. So this year, Debbie McWaters won.
That is wonderful. And I'll tell you what, I would love to hear more about that after the break. If this is catching your attention and you're like, wait a minute, you know, I'm looking for something to do. Maybe I just retired, or maybe you're not retired, but you're interested in raising your hand and say, hey, I want to help. Here's the number, 816-363-2600. You could also go online at kchospice.org to explore volunteer opportunities with this amazing organization. And now the Senior Care Live question of the week. Kansas City Hospice is launching a new volunteer program for young adults in 2024. It's called Team Pajamas. What is the minimum age to get involved? A, there's no minimum or maximum. B, 5 years old. C, young at heart is all we ask. Or D, 16 years and older. What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit seniorcarelive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Kansas City Hospice is launching a new volunteer program for young adults in 2024. It's called Team Pajamas. What is the minimum age to get involved? A, there is no minimum or maximum. B, 5 years old. C, young at heart is all we ask. Or D, 16 years and older. And the answer is D. D, the answer is 16 years and older. And Melissa, tell us about this Team Pajamas. That sounds pretty cool.
Yes, it's a new program we're really excited about. We found that while we have a great volunteer corps during daytime hours, there was a little bit of a gap in the evenings at our hospice houses. Mm-hmm. And we also learned that many local schools had programs where students were looking for volunteer opportunities. So we decided to create Team Pajamas, which really the goal is for teen and young adult volunteers to come to our hospice houses and tuck our families in for the evening. And so they'll go around with a comfort cart offering pillows, herbal tea, maybe warm cookies, see if they have any needs just to help them be comfortable for the night. And we really feel like it'll be a mutually beneficial program for both schools and their teens and young adults and for us.
That sounds like a fantastic idea. I don't know who thought of that, but that's an excellent idea. And I remember when my daughter was in school and going for you had to have a certain number of volunteer opportunities and going for scholarships and all these sort of things. So it all works together. That is a fantastic idea, and good luck with that program. So, Melissa, let's circle back and finish discussing Debbie McWaters, and she won this amazing award. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, we're so proud of her. I mean, we're thrilled to work with Debbie regularly, even if she never won an award, because we're well aware of the work she does for Kansas City Hospice on the daily. This is simply the icing on the cake. Debbie started volunteering with us back in 2002 with her husband. And after he died, she continued. She even increased her dedication to Kansas City Hospice. And this dedication includes running a resale boutique, Heart and Soul, in South Kansas City, where she trains and coordinates a crew of fellow volunteers to help her run the store. She also has a couple of booths in an antique market with all of the items donated and all proceeds going to Kansas City Hospice. These have been running for years.
Talk about the holiday adoption program.
So in addition to the booths and the boutique, every November and December for more than a decade, Debbie has worked alongside our staff on our holiday adoption program. They work with donors and volunteers to provide holiday gifts for more than 50 families and individuals annually. She helps organize volunteer shoppers. She calls patients and families for wish lists, coordinates gift drop-offs, and does pickups. delivers to some patients, and even does shopping and wrapping herself when we're short on shoppers. She has helped hundreds of patients get much-needed items and given them and their shoppers hope for the holidays. You know, I recall one year a patient was, she was a mother of four young children and had moved to Kansas City with nothing but clothing. And their biggest need was beds so they didn't have to sleep on the cold floor. And Debbie walked into a mattress store, got connected with a charity where the store donated mattresses, and the family received beds. She's never one to ignore a need that is within her ability to fulfill.
No wonder she won the award.
Yeah, I mean, and Steve, she is just so authentic and passionate that people don't hesitate to get behind her and do what they can. And we were just so thrilled she won the statewide Heart of Hospice Award this year. And believe me, Debbie is terrific and one of dozens of volunteers who do just unbelievable things for us at Kansas City Hospice.
And it's just amazing. And it's just so easy to see how important the volunteers are to your organization. And again, I go back to the numbers. 5% is the requirement. You're at 11%, and that just that speaks volumes. So, David, let's shift gears now and talk about something really important to everyone in the listening audience, and we all need a plan. Is that right?
You know, you're right, Steve. We're coming up on National Healthcare Decisions Day, which is April 16th. This is one of those holidays, but this is an important one, and I'm glad that we're talking about it because the whole reason National Healthcare Decisions Day exists is to inspire, educate, and empower listeners and their medical providers about the importance of advanced care planning. It's an initiative to encourage patients to express their wishes regarding healthcare and for providers and facilities to respect those wishes, whatever they may be. So this is an opportunity to be proactive in considering what you would want to happen in certain circumstances and to document and communicate that plan to your loved ones. It really helps your family be prepared to honor your wishes in the event that you can no longer communicate those wishes. So really think of it as doing your family a big favor and don't leave them in a bind.
Well, and you are doing them a favor because you're taking them off the hook for making huge, monumental decisions, and you can call your own shots there. So, David, I think we can all agree that we don't want to be in a situation ever where we can't speak for ourselves and then have others to make those decisions for us. And again, they're just guessing or they're using their own judgment, and it may not be your wishes.
You're right. And that's exactly the point. So if you haven't made your plans known, April 16th is a very good day to do so. You know, we're talking about the little things and some of the big things too, everything from how much information a physician should share with your family to which family member will be your primary decision maker. Thinking about things now, hopefully before a medical crisis, will help you make decisions based on what you value most without the influence of stress and fear, and then communicating your preferences empowers you to have a voice in your care. We're talking about kicking off a conversation around the dining table and then really going from there. It's not easy, but it doesn't have to be complicated. And we have more information and resources about making advanced care planning decisions on our website at kchospice.org/planning.
All right. That is excellent. So thanks, David and Melissa, so very much for your valuable information today about the importance of volunteers all the way through end of life care and the many ways that volunteers make a difference and where listeners can learn more about these opportunities. David, is it best to call or maybe go to the website or either or?
You know, either is fine. You know, we provide our phone number, but also I think it's great to look on the website. Melissa and her team monitor that website, kchospice.org/volunteer. You know, that's where you can complete a really short interest form, and our volunteer coordinators are just excellent, and they'll follow up with you. Certainly, there's no obligation when completing the form. It's just a way to go ahead and give your interest. And then, of course, in terms of planning, kchospice.org/planning, for more information and links and resources on the topic of advanced care planning. So just let people know your plans. And I know from personal experience, it feels like a big lifesaver when you're executing what your own family member instructed you to do.
And you have experienced this, and you said that your mom just took care of all that for you. And
yeah.
Just took you off the hook, really. And you could just execute the plan and not have to worry about that.
That's right. I read the piece of paper 1,000 times, but we did what she said.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. And National Healthcare Decisions Day, that's an easy one to remember. April 16th, mm-hmm. The day after taxes, the tax day, right? So pretty simple to remember. Again, reach out to KC Hospice at kchospice.org. You can go to all the different parts of the website. website. You can give them a call and if you prefer. But the bottom line is, if you want to volunteer, there is a place and a space and a need for you at Kansas City Hospice. Fantastic organization. It's very fulfilling. And I would encourage you to reach out to David and Melissa about the volunteer opportunities. And don't forget National Healthcare Decisions Day. So David and Melissa, thanks so much for being here today. Excellent as always.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, we'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, would like to introduce our next guest, Dr. Linda Johnson. She is the Senior Medical Director for a wonderful organization called Archwell Health. And Dr. Johnson, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Thank you so much, Steve. I'm delighted to be here and share our story.
All right, and I'm excited to hear from you. So it's wonderful to have you here in studio and on the program. So Dr. Johnson, tell us about Archwell Health.
So Archwell Health is senior-focused care, age 60 and above, and we're in 51 centers now across the country. We have three of them here in Kansas City, where we're talking from.
Yep.
And we're growing. We'll be adding more over the next several years. So the whole idea is to go into neighborhoods where there's seniors but not enough primary care. And we want to give those seniors the type of care we feel they believe that they deserve and believe that they need. So we're talking about one-on-one care with them, same-day access care when they're sick, socialization. So a whole 24/7 type of care to really fulfill the needs they need.
And very specifically for people age 60 and above. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so as far as the location, so you say 51.
Mm-hmm.
So I had someone from Archwell on the program. This has been a couple of years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were just in a handful of locations, but really big plans. So they've really exploded over the last few years.
We started out with 15 centers the first year back in 2021. And it ranged from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Birmingham, Alabama, to St. Louis, Kansas City, and Oklahoma. And then the next year, we went out west and we added centers in Las Vegas and Phoenix and Tucson. And this past year, we went down into Florida. We got 10 centers along the Gulf Coast of Florida, up to Omaha, and added more centers due to growth in the existing markets we were already in. So we're up to 51 now, and more plans to expand later this year.
That's fantastic. And three right here in the Kansas City metro. So that's fantastic. So in the communities you serve, what do people there find most exciting about Archwell Health?
It's a place just for them. So you're coming into a center where even the way we designed it, it's bright colors, it's uplifting, but it's quiet and nurturing. So you're not overwhelmed. You know, as we get older, it's just harder. We have different healthcare needs. We can't hear, we can't see. Getting around's harder. So we've designed the center specifically for someone over 60 to make it easier for them to get their care. We do just as much as we can there so that they have one-stop shopping. So we have the lab is there to get their blood work drawn. We do all kinds of on-site testing for different preventative things. We do immunizations. We have a whole care team built around them that includes social work and an RN for triaging and care manager for when they happen to be in the hospital or have to go to a rehab. So we do everything that we can to make life easier for them.
And it's all senior focused. I love that. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Johnson, our audience is made up of seniors and their caregivers, as well as many senior care professionals. So how can our listeners choose the best provider for either themselves or their parents or their clients?
So there's a variety of ways. So if you go to our website, it's very robust for each center with all the providers in those centers, so they can learn about them on the website. We have very regular open houses at our centers, so they're invited to come in, get to know the providers one-on-one at those open houses. We also invite folks just to come in and visit anytime. They can take a tour of one of the centers and see what we have to offer. One of the big things that's there that I like them coming for, in, either an open house or an in-center visit, is we have activity centers in every single center. An issue that happens for seniors as they get older is they become very isolated.
That there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so socialization is a big, important part of their health. And so a variety of activities that go on in those senior centers. So it ranges from education type things to informational things. So we have financial workshops, we have will workshops, we have different activities in the community they might need to learn more about. And then we just have activities that they pick that range from crochet to bingo to we've got pajama parties and movie nights and all kinds of yeah. different activities. It's based on what they want. I'm most jealous. I love to garden, and the Independence Center that we have here uh-huh. has a beautiful garden outside
yeah.
that the members take care of, and then they get the bounty
oh, wow.
For the harvest. So it's whatever they want to have in the activity center, then we help arrange that. And of course, there's lots of exercise. There's Zumba and yoga and different types of activity to help them in that regard, too.
So there's a lot more than just information and education and workshops, and that's very, very important. Mm-hmm. But you've got mm-hmm. the whole social aspect. You can have some fun. You can play some games.
Absolutely.
You can plant a garden.
Absolutely.
And you clearly become integrated as part of that community mm-hmm. where you serve. Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why we choose where we go. We're not in a big medical office building someplace. We're choosing locations that are in their community. Seniors also don't like to drive as they get older.
Yep.
So we want to make it easy for them to get to us. And so we're in their neighborhood, and we want to be an active participant in that neighborhood with them. But for those that can't get to us, we also help with transportation. So.
That's what I remember, mm-hmm. like I said, a couple of years mm-hmm. back, mm-hmm. That they said we could even arrange some transportation to get you to the
Absolutely.
Office and back.
Absolutely.
That's so, so mm-hmm. impressive. Mm-hmm. My doctor doesn't do that, by the way. So, so he's like, hey, figure out how to get here yourself. And if you need a blood draw, you may have to go somewhere else.
Exactly.
If you need an x-ray, mm-hmm. you may have to go somewhere else. So,
And that just, healthcare is yeah. confusing enough.
Yeah.
Anything
yeah.
that we can take out of that equation to make it simpler, that's what we're trying to do.
All right. So how is healthcare for adults age 60 plus different from healthcare provided for other age groups?
You know, it's a blessing. I tell all my patients, growing old is a blessing, but it comes with challenges. And, you know, the things that happen to our bodies as we age can sometimes be frightening. And so it's giving them the time they need to discuss all their concerns. So we have much longer appointments. So they have the time to sit and really share those concerns with their provider and really learn to have an ongoing relationship with the provider so that trust is there.
So let's stop right there. So I've been on how many appointments where it's in and out 5 minutes and you're like, oh, wait, but the...
Exactly.
We'll schedule another mm-hmm. appointment. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a flyby. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you do not do that at all.
We yeah. absolutely do not do that. So our appointments range from 20 minutes to 60 minutes.
Oh,
and if
wow.
you need it longer than 60 minutes, you get it.
Okay.
So.
Well, and that's one thing, you know, my mom, it's important to her. Mm-hmm. She's 81 mm-hmm. and in pretty darn good shape, too. Mm-hmm. You would never guess she's 81. We're very, very fortunate, very blessed. But she would say, she really likes her doctor that she has mm-hmm. now. But previously, she's like, I didn't even get a chance to explain what's going on. And he's in and out of here. And I didn't feel like I was heard.
Right.
And that was very disappointing mm-hmm. for her. So.
And that's what a longer appointment time gives you, the chance to be heard, because we want to make decisions together with our members, too. You know, that's the other thing with getting older. You know what you want. You know what you don't want. And you make the decision together. So many times when it's like a quick type of appointment, I'm guilty of this in the past, that you just want to do what needs to be done for them because you got to move on to the next one.
Yep.
And you're not really including them in the decision making. But by having more time, they're a part of that decision making.
They're talking to you rather than speaking with you.
Absolutely.
And it's a monologue versus a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's it. So, okay, so why is the patient experience so important when it comes to healthcare?
It's all about having better health. So if you have a good experience with your healthcare, then you'll understand more what's going on with you. You'll understand more why you're supposed to do the treatments that you need to do or the diet you need to do or the exercise regimen you need to do. You're more prone to trust that healthcare provider when there's new symptoms so that things can be addressed early before they become an issue or problematic. You just have a healthier, more productive life with a good healthcare experience.
And you feel like you're going to listen to your provider because you feel like you're part of the solution.
Exactly.
You're included. Again, dialogues versus monologue, et cetera. So that makes sense. So Archwell Health also offers activities, as you had mentioned earlier, workshops, workout classes, et cetera. So do you have any upcoming events here in the Kansas City market?
I actually should have brought you one of the calendars.
Oh, yeah.
I spent the day today at our Overland Park office. They had Zumba class this morning.
Oh, okay.
They've got a financial class coming up. They've got the pajama party for the movies that I talked about. They actually have senior karaoke.
Okay.
I would love to see that. We've got several ongoing talks this month at all the centers on different stages of diabetes. So if you've just been diagnosed with diabetes, if you're having trouble controlling your diabetes, carb counting, all kinds of different things on diabetes. That's kind of been the focus this month. We have activities that besides the Zumba, because everybody's at a different stage. So there's chair yoga, there's more line dancing type things. So whatever
it's
the exercise
all
that you're able to do, we've got something for everybody.
Okay, and so our listeners can get more information at archwellhealth.com, is that correct?
They sure can, including the activity calendars.
Oh.
And like, for example, those diabetes talks that I talk about, they're not just for our members. So if they want to bring in their neighbor, they
for
want
the
to
community.
Bring their family, it's for everybody. So.
All right. Dr. Linda Johnson, Senior Medical Director with Archwell Health. For more information, go to archwellhealth.com. And Dr. Johnson, thanks so much for making time in your schedule today to come in and visit with us and tell us more about Archwell Health. I really appreciate you.
And we really appreciate you giving us the chance to share our story.
All right. We'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit seniorcarelive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit seniorcarelive.com. All right, so let's talk about entrance fees and monthly costs at the continuing care retirement community type of senior care community. So, as you know, I always refer to them as CCRCs. So that's Continuing Care Retirement Community. And again, that's all of the above. They would offer independent living, assisted living, and long-term care. Now, some CCRCs would have an entrance fee, and that entrance fee in our area, you know, somewhere around $250,000 would be on the low end. About $800,000 would be on the high end of it. You can get a very nice independent living apartment for anywhere from about $350,000 to about $600,000. I mean, really nice. Some places offer villas. So they're freestanding villas. Maybe they're duplexes, but they're soundproof from side to side. And they're really, really nice. They usually have a garage, a single or a double car garage. And they're very, very nice. They would be on the higher end of that entrance fee, by the way. And typically, 90% of that is refunded, but there are lots of different contract variables and variations and options. But I wanted to jump into some of the monthly costs for a continuing care retirement community. So again, move into independent living, the entrance fee, $250 to upwards of $800. $1,000, typically 90% refunded, but you have a monthly cost that goes along with that. And that's anywhere from $3,500 to maybe $5,500. That's right down the middle. I mean, it could definitely be more than that for sure. But I think this is pretty common, would include, you know, most of the inventory. Again, the larger the space, the nicer the space, the higher it's going to be. If you move in with your spouse, there's usually a second person fee that could be added to that monthly cost. Okay, so $3,500 to $5,500. And now that number might be a little bit different if you're in a rental-only CCRC, where they don't have that upfront entrance fee, maybe closer to, you know, $4,500 to $6,000. So maybe just a little bit higher on the average, but you're also not writing a check for $250,000 to $800,000. Okay, so that's reflected there. And again, the idea is you move into independent living, let your hair down. It's a lifestyle change. It's a downsize. It's a really good thing. You don't have to worry about home ownership issues like, you know, the water heater went out. There's a leak in the roof. Yuck. Hate dealing with all that stuff. You don't have to mow, do the landscaping, et cetera, et cetera. You don't have to pay utilities, homeowners insurance, property tax, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's just wonderful. You move in, you let your hair down. They'll even make a meal or two for you per day. But you're still fully functioning in your apartment home or villa. There's a fully equipped kitchen, so you can cook whatever you want, whenever you want. But it is a lifestyle change, and it's a really nice change for a lot of folks. But then you have the peace of mind knowing that you can age in place and move to the assisted living level of care if you need a little bit of help. Move to the long-term care level of care if you need a little bit of help. But again, you still have these monthly fees. So the average fee, monthly fee for assisted living really is based on a couple of things. So a studio apartment is less than a one-bedroom apartment, is less than a two-bedroom apartment. So the more space you have, the higher it is. And then most of the time, if you need a little bit of care, you're paying less than someone who needs a lot of care. So you have that variable as well. So I would say the average monthly in assisted living is going to be somewhere between $6,000 to $9,000 per month. And that should cover, I think, the majority of places. Okay. And then if you move to long-term care, that's the medical model. Some people refer to that as a nursing home. I generally refer to that as long-term care. But that is where you have a couple of options. That's the highest level of care. You have a lot more RNs and LPNs at that point. They can handle a lot of medical issues like catheter care, diabetic management with insulin injection, wound care, tube feeding. It goes on and on and on. So you could have a shared room in long-term care. The average cost is going to be anywhere from about $8,000 to $9,500. That's kind of right down the middle. Larger metro areas, it could be definitely higher than that. I think that's going to cover most places. And then if you want a private room in long-term care, that space really comes at a premium because it's mostly about the care that you need and receive. But that average cost is going to be somewhere between about $11,000 to $15,000 per month, which is keep both hands on the wheel. If you're driving, don't be I felt a couple of cars out there kind of jerk like, oh, what? So, but yeah, very, very expensive. But when you move into a continuing care retirement community, I think the major, major benefit is that you are buying peace of mind. You have the peace of mind knowing that you can let your hair down. You can move into independent living. You can have some social opportunities. They'll make a meal or two for you. You have your own space. And then if you need it later on, which most of us will, you can transition to the assisted living portion of the community where they can help you with your activities of daily living. If you need a little more help than that, they've got you covered. This is the peace of mind, knowing they will take care of you regardless of your needs. You can transition to long-term care, and they can take care of you with your physical needs and your medical needs. And if it's a place, a CCRC that's in one building, one big building, you never have to change your address. Some places are maybe on a small campus-style arrangement, but you never have to leave the organization. They've got you covered. That's the peace of mind that you have when you move into a continuing care retirement community. And some of the contracts offer heavy discounts on the assisted living and long-term care monthly costs that could be to a major, major advantage for you. So again, if you need help navigating this really complex world of continuing care retirement communities. I would invite you to reach out to my firm, Senior Care Consulting. We've got you covered. I understand all of this, and I can help navigate you through determining exactly what you need, determining our top options in the market. Then we'll vet those options. We'll gather a lot of information. We'll take a tour. Then I'll put you in a position that where you can make an informed decision and move forward with confidence. Give me a call at 913-945-2800. You can also visit online at seniorcareconsulting.com. We'll make that whole process for you very simple. All right. I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week, right here on Senior Care Live.